We are on page Kuf Mem Zayin, which is 293 on the top numbers. We are 6 lines from the bottom. Hine, and in English it's now by this dot triangle. This is a letter of comfort which is sent to the people of Spot on the passing of Menachem Mendel Harder. And he makes the claim that a tzaddik is more alive during his lifetime, after his passing, than during his lifetime, and explains that that's because the life of a tzaddik is not a physical life, but the tzaddik is the embodiment of the attributes of Hashem, whether it be Emunah or Chesed or Rachamim, etc., etc. So in wrapping this letter up, he says, "V'hine yesh oid v'chinas ha'ar l'talmudav." So we say that the effect that the tzaddik has to those who are mekusher to him, those who are connected to him, is extended more during his after his lifetime, because he's not limited by a physical body. Further ado, hine yesh oid v'chinas ha'ar l'talmudav. He has another, the tzaddik has another effect with his Talmudim, with his pupils, in that his soul can affect them in, after his passing. Rashi'am is labeshes b'toich moicha mamish kirishayna. But it's not something which they are conscious of. Okay, but rather, rak me'ir aleihem milamayla, it affects them in a superficial way. Not superficial meaning in some extraneous secondary way, but superficial as opposed to directly being conscious of it. They're unaware of it. You might say it's even, but it's not that it's above them. It's not around. It's meant to say subconscious, on a subconscious level. It affects them.
Is it subtle?
Very subtle. And it affects the very source and root of their nefesh and ruach. And what is that? The hainu chakel tepuchin kedushin. This is which was discussed in the Zohar as chakel tepuchin kedushin, the holy apple orchard, which means absolutely nothing in English. It's written in the Zohar of different levels. In the Kiddush of Nusach Ari, so it says, it sort of like gives the GPS coordinates as to what the meal is, where the meal is directed from. So on Friday night, it says, Dahi suhu daso the chakal tepuchin kedushin. This is the meal of the holy apple orchard. By Shabbos day, it's Dahi Sudasa Datika Kedisha. This is the meal of the Ancient of Days, the Holy Ancient One, which also doesn't mean anything. And then by Shalashu, this is Dahi Sudasa Dezeranpi. This is the meal of the small faces. Again, it doesn't mean anything. What these are is that from whence the Shabbos is coming and from whence related to our neshama. And specifically, you're talking about on Shabbos, everybody knows it, even says it's in the Gemara, that on Shabbos, everybody's given a neshama yisira. We get an extra soul. That's why we do the Mesamim on Motzei Shabbos, is because we're faint from our extra soul, our neshama yisira leaving us. So the source of the Shabbos is an expression directly of Kesser. That's why it says that there is only 6 days of creation. It's referred to as the 6 days of creation. But there were 7 days. But the seventh day was Shabbos. The Shabbos was not part of the 6 days of creation. It's a whole different system. What we talked about in previous times, that the world is enlivened in a whole different way on Shabbos. There's a bypassing of, you might say, of the Seder Istalshelus, such that godliness comes down into this world in a more direct way. That's why, for example, the idea is, Barer is one of the 39 malachas of choosing good from bad, or bad from good. So it says, Barer is asav, is that why? What does that mean? Is the avodas habirurim, which is discussed at great length in the Zohar and the Kabbalah and Hasidus, that what we're supposed to be doing during the week is extracting the good and jettisoning the bad. So that's what we're doing a whole week. On Shabbos, you don't have to do that, because it happens automatically. That's why you're allowed to have kol mine madanim umatanim. You can have all kinds of delicacies and delights on Shabbos, and you don't have to worry about being a chazer, because you're eating it l'kavod Shabbos kodesh, provided you are eating l'kavod Shabbos kodesh, rather than just to fill your bodily desires. So, but during the week, it's a lot harder for a person just to munch down on chocolate cake than it is on Shabbos. Shabbos, it's a mitzvah, because you're delighting in the Shabbos, because how does the Shabbos relate to us is from Kesser. Now, the Shabbos is Mekatsher Mekayim. It says the Shabbos is becomes more and more holy, such that the time period after Mincha, before Ma'ariv, is referred to as Riven de Shabbos. It's the most desirous time of Shabbos, as it's continually getting higher and higher, the revelation. So it starts out with Techakel Tepuchin Kedishin, the Holy Apple Orchard, which the Holy Apple Orchard is an external expression of divine will, of Kesser. Kesser. Yeah, the divine will, that this is now. It's not that we're running on a system where everything comes through Seder Yisalshus, through order and through channels. This is coming straight from Hashem's will. Shabbos day is from Pnimius of Kesser. Atika Kedisha is the inner aspect of Hashem's will, which corresponds to the light. Normally, when we say, for Shalosh Shus, we say Zeranpim usually refers to the Midas, which is lower than Kesser. But here, since we're Mekatshim Mekayim, we're getting progressively higher, so this refers to the attributes of the infiniteness of Hashem directly. That's why the afternoon, after Shabbos, after Mincha on Shabbos is so high, is because the revelation is coming from a level of godliness which even supersedes supreme delight. Whatever that is, and we don't exactly know what that is in our own psyche, because we know that we're motivated by, we do things that we want to, and they're motivated by pleasure. But what motivates our pleasure, it's just an essence. So you might say that that's essential. So now what he's saying over here is that because the tzaddik is not limited by a body, so he can have this direct, great levels of divine will to those who are makusha to him. So how is that manifest? And the person doesn't know it, because since it's not an intellectual expression, so it doesn't fit into our intellect. So what good does it do if it affects me? Is revelation a revelation if it's not revealed to me? And the answer is, well, yes, it is. How so? As it says, Lamakar has a hainal have the condition, Va'al Zen Nasser Sham Yichud. And thereby, this student now becomes unified with their teacher, with Hashem, al yedei halos man makol ma'isiv toras v'avados asher avid kol mechayev. That this causes to be elevated the deeds that person does. Which that's what the in the English he says Mayim Nukvin, which is translated as feminine waters. It's also a very bad translation. It means the arousal from below, which is perpetrated by us, and then all the deeds that we do, all the Torah that we learn, all the service to Hashem, and the davening and other things, Milas Hasodim, become unified with the essence of Hashem. And then what happens is, the way the paradigm is you get excited, Hashem gets excited. So if this person is now shown some sort of great revelation, and this spurs on an impetus for the person to do more, that it says, he's going to say right here, that suddenly a person wakes up, that's figurative speaking, and says, you know, I have to do tshuva. So where does that come from all of a sudden? Person shouldn't give himself too much credit. You can give yourself some credit. But a sudden hirhor tshuva, a sudden desire that a person should want to get closer to Hashem, is most likely coming through some channel of some tzaddik that person has a relationship with, either directly or indirectly. Okay, so that you could say, for example, well, maybe a person doesn't have a connection with a tzaddik. Okay, so I could tell you, for example, like I have a connection with the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and you have a connection with me. So therefore, you have a connection with the Lubavitcher Rebbe, whether you like it or not. So
I like that.
Okay. So that could very well be. So then you're getting channeled godliness. I don't want to say that I'm the conduit for it. That would be presumptuous of me. But you have a connection to the Lubavitcher Rebbe through that secondary way. And that affects down here. Asher heim terasov v'idostov ha'aras ha'aras al-yonim elu me'ira al-kol talmidav. Okay, so that which the tzaddik was able to do in this world is now, its effect is being shown or benefits all of those who are mekusher to him. Because when the tzaddik is in this world, so again, he's limited by the effect of what he's able to do in this world. This is true with everybody. What's Gan Eden? Gan Eden is that a person feels the positive connection that they made with Hashem. That's why it says, Schar Mitzvah Mitzvah. You say it in Pirkei Avos. Okay, the reward for the mitzvah is the mitzvah. What does that mean? That the mitzvah means a connection to Hashem. So what's the reward for being connected to Hashem? Is you're connected to Hashem. So now, a person puts on tefillin, he says, Shema, gives tzedakah, eats matzah on Pesach, and hears shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Does he feel any different than if he hadn't done it? Generally not. Because the connection which we're making is a spiritual connection. It's a soul connection. When the person gets rid of their corporeality after 120 years and goes up to Shemayim and then can see his Nen and Viziv Hashem is benefiting from the person's accomplishments. So now if you're talking about a tzaddik, the tzaddik has the same deal. What he's able to do in this physical world is not fully able to be appreciated because of the limitations of the physical world. But when the tzaddik divests himself of his body, so now then that tzaddik has a greater influence with that which he's able to accomplish, because the godliness is now being appreciated by that tzaddik. And then, since he still has that connection to the neshamas of all of his students, so they're getting that as well.
Also, he said some part of his neshama or some representation of neshama is in the grave.
It's still there, but that's the very lowest part. That's why we go daven there.
But does he interact with the world through that from there?
I don't know exactly how it works.
I don't know. Okay.
But you don't have, well...
People go to the grave.
People go to the grave specifically. Because the lowest part of the neshama is still attached to that part, that specific spot, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, but if you were sitting here 600 miles away and you were, say, Lubavitcher Rebbe, I need a bracha. Could you, put in my good word for, up in Shemayim for me? I think somehow it would have a positive effect also. And not necessarily do you have to pick yourself up and travel to New York.
Right.
Okay, there is an interesting story about this in the Sadiqim going to Gan Eden. This story was told by the Rebbe, who said he heard it from the Friedrich Rebbe, who heard it from some Alter Chassid, who heard it about Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev, who heard it about the Rambam. Okay, so what was the deal? Is the Rambam made a vow that he's not, this is the story as it goes, is Levi Yitzchak Berdichev is saying that he heard that the Rambam made a deal. He took a vow. He's not going into Gan Eden until Mashiach comes. He's going to stay there because he's going to think this is a big neshama. They're going to want this neshama in Gan Eden. And he's going to stand outside the gates of Gan Eden. He's going to refuse to come in until they bring Mashiach. He's going to force the issue. Says, what happens to Levi Yitzchak Berdichev? He said, unfortunately, what happened is from the passing of the Rambam to Levi Yitzchak Berdichev was 400 years. So it's been 400 years. So what happened? Well, evidently, they showed him a little bit of the tainugim that he was missing out on, the delights, the spiritual delights, and he jumped right in. He said, but me, Levi Yitzchak Berdichev said, I'm taking an oath that when, after 120, I am not going in. So, Levi Yitzchak Berdichev said that. So now, the Friedrich Rebbe says that, the Friedrich Rebbe is now telling the story about Levi Yitzchak Berdichev, that had been over 100 years since his passing, And the Friedrich Rebbe said that evidently what happened was, as Levi Yitzchak Berdichev was standing outside the gates of Gan Eden, and he's refusing to go in. So what did they do? They showed him some of the tainugim of the delights of Gan Eden, and he also jumped in. So then the Friedrich Rebbe said, now when I pass away, I am not going into Gan Eden until Mashiach comes. And the Rebbe told this story, I don't know if the Rebbe told it more than once, but I was there when the Rebbe told it, okay? And he said evidently, he didn't say about his shverer, the shverer jumps right in, but it was, I don't remember exactly the expression that he used, but it seems like also that, unfortunately, the Friedrich Rebbe couldn't withstand the Tainugim also. And then the Rebbe said, but me, and he stopped it right there. He didn't say the rest of it. He didn't finish the sentence, but me, when I die, I'm going to stand outside Gan Eden and wait until force Mashiach to come. All he said was, but me. And I remember standing there and shuddering when I heard this. This was a couple of years before the Rebbe passed away, you know. And at this point, I'm getting, at 25 years, I'm getting a bit, 20 years, I'm getting a bit discouraged myself. You know, I can't imagine that the Rebbe is still standing, although there are Lubavitchers that would probably have me flogged for saying this, but I can't imagine that the Rebbe is still standing outside the gates of Gan Eden lobbying for Mashiach to come and say, I'm not coming in until you bring Mashiach. So, call me a heretic. So, but anyway.
I understand.
The Ha'arazu Shaleha Milamaila. And this ray of this, the accomplishment of this tzaddik has now an effect on the his talmidim, his students, in a such a super, it's in an extraneous way. But what does it cause? Mekinesis belibam. It enters into, it causes to enter into their heart. Here, hori tshuva maisim tovim. What is that? That suddenly a person gets this idea. He's in the middle of doing who knows what. And or maybe he's not in the middle of doing, he's at the end of doing who knows what. And he has this idea, you know, I have to do tshuva, I have to be a better person, I have to go do this good thing. Where does that come from? That comes from, not from his own psyche, necessarily, but could come from the connection that he had with that tzaddik is now able to affect that individual by drawing down these greater levels of godliness. And all of this that is now comes into it. It's planted in quote unquote this field, referring back to the Chakal Tabuchin condition, the holy apple orchard, the expression of external expressions of divine will. This is called growth from growth. Okay, so if for example,
second degree.
Yeah, you have like a branch growing off a branch. It's called gedula gedulim. Okay, it's like a secondary thing from it, but guess what? There's fruit growing on that too. Things are being accomplished right. It's not that the apples don't grow out of the trunk. The main part of the tree is the trunk. Okay, but where does anything get accomplished? It's in the branches.
The branches.
And for the most part, even it's not even the thicker branches, it's the thinner branches, it's the newer branches where the fruit grows. So, the Ha'ara Zu, he, Mehelem Vehester Godel, Kamaya Shemesh Amer, Lekechavim, Metachas La'aras. Like, and this is a great, this revelation is very, very concealed. It's concealed and it's obscured, like the sun as it's illuminating the stars on the other side of the earth. As is explained in the Zohar, that after Moshe passed away, it's described in the Zohar, the effects of Moshe Rabbeinu's soul not only affected every place, but also all time, every single generation for 600,000 souls. Like the sun radiating to the 600,000 stars from below the earth. Okay, that's a very abrupt ending, but that's sort of like the letter the time we wanted to convey really ended last week when he said, "You got to Masasi Tamim. You want to get things done, go do it, and then you can say, okay, I got it done, but you got to work at it." This is a little thing that he sticks on at the end and says, "Oh, by the way," it's kind of like a trailer. So he's done with the trailer. So we are now going to start chapter 28, which is also a letter of comfort. Okay, taking a different look at it, it says Masha Kasav Lamachut Naharav Hagoyan Hamaforsim Ish Elakim Kadosh Hashem. This letter was written specifically to his Machutin. That's the his granddaughter married the son of Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev. And the Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev's son passed away suddenly as a very young man. So he's writing him a letter of comfort. Ner Yisrael Amid Chazak Patech Hashik Marina V'Rabin Litzchak Nishmasi Aiden. This is written to... Why does it say Nishmasi Aiden? That's kind of strange, but... Pillar of light, the right hand, mighty hammer, our master of Yitzchak, may his soul rest in Eden. Yeah, it must have been written... It's because it's published posthumously. So the Alter Rebbe didn't write this part. This is written by the Mittler Rebbe, who included the Egeres HaKadosh, and he's giving us a handle on why this letter was written. And he said, this was a letter my father wrote to my daughter's father-in-law of blessed memory. So that's why he puts that in. The Ki'av based in the Kehila Kedisha Berdichev. This he was the head of the community of Berdichev. Lenachamai Petiras Benai, to comfort him for the passing of his son, Harav Chassid Marina Reb Meir Nishmasi Aiden. Okay, so then so he asks the question: Lama Nistucha Parshas Miriam LaParshas Para. It says you have the beginning of Parshas Chukas. Talks about the first chapter talks about all the ins and outs of what to do with a red cow. The second chapter of Parshas Chukas talks about the death of Miriam. Okay, so we ask the question. It says Davar Olam Min Menyanei. Context is one of the things that has to be discussed when you're learning Torah. It's one of the things. So there is every time, for everything, you can say there's a set order in the Torah, and it's very precise. There's a reason why this portion comes after this portion, and there are great things to be learned from it. So the Alter Rebbe asks, so what is Miriam's death got to do with a red cow?
I thought there were 38 years.
Yeah, Parshas Para, that Parsha that's written at the beginning of Parshas Chukas really belongs in Sefer Vayikra.
Okay.
It is not has nothing to do contextually with what's going on. And you're right, Moshe was told about Para Duma 38 years before the passing of Miriam. So as far as putting it someplace, that even strengthens the question. So it's not by chance, it's not a chronology. Oh, you get the answer, it's by chronology. It's got nothing to do with chronology. Now we really have to know why, of all the places that we're going to put Parshas Chukas, we put Parshas Chukas next to Miriam's death in the storyline. That's the question. So the Gemara answers that just as the Para Duma atoned for sin, so too also the death of a tzaddik atones for sin. That's what it says in the Gemara. Okay? That's the answer. But, so he says, no, this is only one line in a letter. This is a two-page letter. We're not done. Why is it that we put specifically the laws of the Para Duma, which is also called a chatas, by the way, it's called mechatas, a sin offering, with the death of Miriam, because that one was specifically done hanasa chus m'shalosh machanos. It's done all outside of the three camps.
Right.
So if you're going to say that we want to do something that it atones, it says Ela the chatas kari rachmana hanasa b'chutz. It's called a chatas. It's called a sin offering, but it was done outside. Why didn't we put the laws of a regular chatas, a normal chatas, which is a sin offering brought for the unknown performance of serious sins, And then have Miriam's story after that, because that was done inside. And the whole purpose of the chatas is, why was the chatas brought, is to atone for somebody who did something wrong. Why was the parah aduma done? In case somebody came in contact with a dead body. And if no one comes in contact with a dead body, guess what? You don't need the parah aduma.
Do you remember something about the parah aduma? The preparation for it, some of the parts the women can do. The throwing of the hyssop.
It's
all outside the base of Mikdash.
Understood, but that's not the answer.
I'm just wondering if there's...
No, that's not the answer. Sorry. Okay, the idea is that it's on the outside. That's the main thing. Amnam noider mizayar kodesh v'harizol soid karbanish al gabi mizbeach. So it's discussed in the Zohar, it's discussed in the Kabbalah, that what was the purpose of offering animal sacrifices on an altar is b'chinas halos man menefesh bahamas shebenayga al shorshin umakaran. That what was trying to be accomplished with the offering of sacrifices on the mizbeach, on the altar, in the base of Mikdash, was in order to cause an elevation to the person's own animal soul. As we know, the very famous mimer from Lukutzi Torah that says, Adam kiyakr mikam korban, that a person will offer himself up from a korban, offer up from himself a sacrifice. And the Alter Rebbe asks that l'cha'ira is grammatically incorrect. That's like saying, call me a cab. Okay, you're a cab. Okay, it should say a person when he himself will offer up a sacrifice, something like that. But this is saying is when a person will offer from himself a sacrifice, that means that he's the sacrifice, the way you're saying it that way. And you're saying, yeah, because what is the purpose of the karbanis is not because God's into barbecue, you've probably heard me say that a zillion times, but rather what this does is elevate the very animalistic tendencies of the person themselves, so that they're purifying their animal soul, their yetzahara, elevating it out of the realm of Noga, which is related to Klippa, and elevating it to Kedusha. Okay, that's what's happening with a normal chatas. And where does the animal soul come from? Well, it depends what kind of animal soul you got. Because the animal soul, it says, is rooted in the animals of Yecheskel's vision. So it says that those animals there, it says there are four animals, an ox, a lion, an eagle, and a human, and a man. And each one is the spiritual source of some kind of creature here. The ox is all the domesticated animals. The lion is all the wild animals. The eagle is all the birds and the fish. And the man is of the animal soul, specifically of people. Okay, because we're talking animals over here. The Adam Sha'al HaKiseh, the man who was on top of the throne, riding the throne, that's the spiritual source, the jumping off port, you might say, for our godly souls. So there's two different Adam in the Yecheskel's chariot. The one that's pulling it, like an animal, that refers to the animal soul, and the one who's directing it, that's the source of our godly soul. Al yedei zeh nimshachim v'yardin mad v'b'chinas adam shalakiseh, and that causes there to be an arousal from below, from above, which is coming from the man who's on the top of the chariot, the director of the chariot, hanikra b'shem malka v'zah, that this is referred as the king, also to as the emotions of Hashem. So the purpose of the sacrifices was to bring down a higher level of godliness such that it elevated the lowliness of the individual and the lowliness of this world. Akein b'sreifas hapara aduma. And it's the same thing that was happening also when they reduced the red cow to ashes. And it was happened, what it wasn't, which is just not a simple procedure. It wasn't some hocus pocus. They took a branch of cedar and they took three branches of hyssop and they threw it in. That's part of the purification process. How so? I don't think he's going to explain it because Shlomo Melech says, I don't understand what we're doing over here. V'nesinus mayim chayim ala offer. Nikru b'shem kiddush mechatas. What did they do is after the animal was reduced to ashes, they gathered the ashes together and they took a ministering vessel, they filled it with water and they threw the ashes on the top of the water. That was called Kiddush Mechatas. That's called the sanctification of. Meaning that this which was rooted in Klippa and Klippa's Noga has now been elevated to the level of Kedusha by its sanctification for this process. And this is a higher level of holiness, and it is referred to as the dew, the crystal dew. Yeah, crystal dew. The dew of bedilium. Referring to the emanation from Arech Anpim, see commentary of Azaghal, yeah. Bedulcha's crystal. So it's the dew of the crystal, which is where it refers to a level of Pnimius of Kesser, sacrifice only related to Kesser, externius of will. Whereas the Parah Aduma related to the inner aspect of Hashem's will. That this is the higher level of Chachma, which is not in its heels. This is the level of Chachma, which is in Kesser, which is called Meiches Timo, the hidden levels of Chachma, because like we said before, you don't understand why it is that you want something. Because the intellect of that desire is hidden from us. The why we're not privileged to is too far removed from us. So this that a person is now offering a paraduma, so they're tapping into that level of divine desire of Erech Anpin, which is external expression, Valv, Itner Beduch Tetuvan. About this it says many places in the Zohar, Bechachma is Barura, that with wisdom there's purification, and converting darkness to light. So that the paraduma was to atone for death, for the sin of the golden calf which brought death into the world. So what's death? Death is the ultimate expression of klippa. That's why a dead body is ave avoisatuma. It's the worst level of spiritual impurity. Because death is not a natural occurrence. They ask, how is it that Mashiach is going to come and perform the resurrection? He's not going to say, okay, you, get up, you, come on, I ain't got all day, come on, no, that's not what Mashiach is going to do. It says, V'avaruch atumah min ha'aretz, Hashem is going to remove the spirit of impurity from the earth. What is the spirit of impurity? That's that which caused death that Adam Arishon brought down into this world. That's why people have been dying. So what happens now? So Hashem is going to remove the cause of death, the Ruach HaTumah. So as soon as you remove the cause of something, what happens? It stops. So if the cause of death is removed, then everything comes back to life. Easy, simple. That's all you got to do. You want to give it a shot? Yeah, anyway.
Makes sense, obviously.
Yeah.
So the world's being created every you know, jiffy, we said before, moving death suddenly lifts the death that was keeping dead people dead.
Correct. So there's no such thing as death anymore, and people come back alive. It's automatic. That's why the Rebbe would say, the quoting the second Mishnah and Perek HaChelik in Sanhedrin. The first Mishnah, everybody knows we say it in before we say Perek Yavis. Kol Yisrael Eshelam Chelik Alelam Haba. Every Jew has a portion in the world to come. The second Mishnah says, Ve'elahein She'en Lahem Chelik Alelam Haba. These are they that have no portion in the world to come. So the Rebbe said, do you think Mashiach's got time to walk around saying, no, you stay down? No, everybody, Hakarayim, because it's going to happen automatically. As soon as there's no such thing as death, all the people who died are not going to be dead anymore. Even those people, like it says over there, like for example, a person who says there's no such thing as Tchias HaMeisim in the Torah. Even such a person is told that he's not going to come back. He'll come back too. Says the Maimchai will offer Nikra Vashem Kiddush, where I'm a berserk, because she's put Ruvi Slavkal in the Hara, the Haino Ha'ilam Hatikun. That means that it comes and fixes up this physical world, this world which is created through the creation process. She's Barav and he's talking Ali de Moichus de Mother Achanpim. That what happens is there's different ways of getting rid of Klippa. One way is by us, through our accomplishments, through the Vaidus HaBirurim, as we talked about before. We utilize things for good purposes in serving Hashem, and then that releases the spark of Kedusha from the stronghold of Klippa. And then it elevates back to its source, back in Kedusha, back in holiness. That's one way of doing it. That's the hard way. The easy way is Hashem kind of like just over floods all the channels and sweeps away all of the tuma, and then what are you left with? You're left with just the kedusha. That's much easier. You don't have to work so hard. Hashem does all the work. So that's what he's saying over here. That chachma is mitakin. Chachma is that which fixes it up. Which is an interesting thing that he says over here. Generally, we equate Shviras HaKelim. What Shviras HaKelim is, you have, in the realm of Kesser, there are 10 spheres. But the 10 spheres, the 10 separate spheres, were not able to interconnect one with the other, as is the case with the world of Atzilus. And all those pictures, those charts that they draw, the 10 spheres, so you have all kinds of lines going all over the place. What are those lines? You have the lines going horizontally, you have lines going diagonally, you have lines going vertically, because depending on what you're looking for, so there's an interconnection between this sphere and basically every other sphere. And hence we call it the world of Tikkun, the world of order, and everything works, and that's how the world comes into existence. But in prior to that, there's no order. In the world of the realm of Tohu, which is translated confusion, so it's all in a straight line. There's nothing. Chesed doesn't have to do with Gevura, and Gevura doesn't have to do with Chesed, or either one has to do with Teferis. So this caused, because there is no interconnection, this caused an overload, and the entire world disintegrated, scattering bits of godliness in this world. Those are referred to as the 288 sparks, which it says that the Jews, when they left Egypt, they took 202 of them and elevated them. So we look then as the quote unquote, I hate the term shattering of the vessels, it sounds so dumb, which is the case normally with with English translations, anything Kabbalah usually sounds really, really stupid. So, but when you have Shviras HaKelim, what happened is that if you compare it to our own self, how can we possibly deal with, we've actually asked this before, with desire before it's come into intellect? You have a desire, but you haven't yet begun thinking about it yet. What can you do with that desire? Nothing.
I'm not aware of it.
Yeah, nothing. You can't do anything. He talked about this back in chapter 20 of Tanya. It says you can't do anything with it. What happens, though, is you have this innate desire for something. It could very much get in your way, especially if you don't know what it is that you want. So now what do you say? If you don't know what it is that you want, if this person doesn't know what he wants, what do you call that person? Confused. Okay. Hence we call the state, this pre-Atzilus state, we call it Tohu. It's confused. Hashem is confused. Hashem knows exactly what he's doing. But how it would leave us, since we're patterned, that which relates to us, so we would say we'd be in a state of confusion. So that's one way of looking at it. But there's another way of looking at it, that the godliness that's coming from Tohu is beyond Seder Histalshalus. So anything that is, any relationship that that godliness coming into this creation process is going to have a super positive effect on it, because you're talking very high levels of godliness coming down. That's what he says over here, that the shattering of the vessels, is great levels of godliness that came down in such an unorganized way, fall into this world, thus by giving extra energy, godliness, sprinkled throughout the world, you might say, and because this godliness is so high, it has the ability of purifying the most impure thing, which is the dead body, Avshuhu Avi Avisa Tuma, even though it's the grandfather of all Tuma, Ulamata Mata Menoge, and it definitely doesn't even fit in the realm of Klipas Noge, Shol Shlipas Tameis. Okay? So the Para Aduma was done specifically to counteract the effects of death. When the paradigm of creation was changed. Okay, we're going to stop here. We're on Kuf Mem Ches, which is 295. We're stopping at the big word in the middle of the page, Hini Maida Zeis, and in English now it is known that Abba draws down on the first paragraph on the left side on that page to be continued.